The Brand Journalism Advantage, episode 20.
You have to have your own voice, personalize the piece, personalize the stories, build in experiences into the writing.
The Brand Journalism Advantage, the podcast that teaches the power of storytelling to increase business by attracting, engaging, and influencing consumers. Now, it's time to think like a journalist with your host, brand journalist Phoebe Chongchua.
Hello, brand journalism community. I'm Phoebe Chongchua. Thanks for tuning in to the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast. Here we go with the inside scoop on today's show, Dave Thompson. Dave is an international travel writer and founder of Dave's Travel Corner, a premier travel resource since 1996. He's traveled to over 100 countries where he enjoys the outdoors, backpacking, mountain climbing, meeting people, and experiencing other cultures. Combining these interests with his expertise in technology, photography, and writing, he shares his adventures on Dave's Travel Corner and in numerous media outlets. He is a big proponent of experiential travel, valuing experiences above things. A pioneer in the travel blogging field, Dave has extensive contacts and wide influence in the travel and wine industries, as well as a large audience of DTC readers and social media followers. In 2006, he conceived the Napa Wine Project, a challenging endeavor, somebody's got to do it though, to visit, taste with, and write about every winery in California's Napa Valley. Dave has completed more than 760 visits and reviews of Napa producers for the project. His most recent projects include the American Express Points Program and Expert Wine Guide for Bravo, Your City. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, Phoebe. I'm doing well.
I know you're going to share with the brand journalism community ways that they can get involved now if they want to be travel writers, and if they're resorts, if they're wineries, if they are travel destinations, how they can get their brand out there, how they can get somebody like you to take interest and share, because you do have a whole lot of information. I mean, Dave's Travel Corner is just fantastic. Absolutely love it. So we always start off the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast with a Think Like a Journalist quote. So here it goes. We had found nothing and had been lost several times already in one morning. So this was shaping up into a top travel experience. That's Pete McCarthy, McCarthy's Bar, A Journey of Discovery in Ireland. I'll bet you can relate to that.
Absolutely.
Traveling is such an amazing thing. Tell me a little bit about one of your success tips or your quotes that sort of motivated you to get all of this started.
I'll say a quote that I came up with a while ago, and it's ownership of most things is overrated, and ownership of worldly experiences is not. And that's how I've always lived my life around travel, and it's become a lifestyle. So I seek out experiences when I'm traveling, whether it's culture, whether it's food, whether it's meeting people and seeing the world, their world through their own eyes in a specific destination. That's valuable to me. Certainly things are important, but it's just experiences are what motivates me to travel and continue to explore and be curious about travel.
Yeah, you really are this walking travel knowledge book. I mean, you've been to how many countries?
Somewhere in the range of 120 or so, but that's countries and territories. There's 196, I think, actually under the UN listed, and then there's certainly a lot of territories. In Los Angeles, there's a group that's called the 100 Century Club, and they keep track of things like that.
You just came off of a trip, so I know you're rolling in. We got you up early. Tell us where you just were.
It was a fairly unique part of the world for travel. It's Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, so it's Central Asia. And the Stans aren't necessarily the easiest countries to travel to, and within, there's a lot of visa regulations. But Kyrgyzstan, about 2 years ago, opened up their tourism, so you do not need a visa from at least USA citizens and other citizens. And then Kazakhstan about 2 months ago just opened that up as well. You can travel either via air or across the border without needing a visa. It's a very unique part of the world that when you meet other travelers, you're going to more likely hear countries of conversation around Afghanistan or Iran or Saudi Arabia or Uganda or Tajikistan than perhaps, say, Italy or France or some of the European countries. You meet a traveler there, you're going to meet someone, they're pretty well healed, they've been around the world. But Kyrgyzstan has beautiful mountains and just a diversity of geography that you don't always find.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started on this. You know, anybody listening to this who loves to travel, I'm sure right now they're just foaming at the mouth going, how can I do this? And certainly you did arrive on the scene. Boy, you arrived early. And I think I've read that it started out sort of as a hobby, but take us through that story of how you were able to build out Dave's Travel Corner. And then a little bit later, we're going to get into the Napa Wine Project because, you know, I'm down here in San Diego. And I'll tell you what, Napa is one of my favorite places to go. I work in the wine industry as well, doing brand journalism stories. So really want to hear how you built this out and how it first began for you. What were you doing before this? And then take us through the story of how you got into it.
It started in college, and it started with a trip I took to Nepal with a bunch of college students, sponsored by the university. And it opened my eyes. It was my first big trip outside of the United States, and it really opened my eyes to international travel and different culture and different foods and a different way of life than I had been used to for all of my life, all of my formative years growing up from a Western perspective. And we trekked up to Everest Base Camp. And on that trek, I became extremely sick from both altitude sickness and food poisoning. And ultimately, I ended up being carried on the back by a lady who was in our group down the mountain for, early morning. We left at midnight. And then the next day, I was so weak, I could physically not walk. And so she would carry me on her back and then drop me off further down the trail. She'd have to come back, pick up the backpacks, go past me and drop them off. And we continued that all day until eventually I became stronger and we reached a lower elevation. But it was an experience that you might initially think, that's going to turn you off to travel. But in this case,
I'd say,
it's a trip that stuck with me for at least a year afterwards. It's something that was so powerful that just you think about it and you reflect on it and it's just, it grabbed me.
Yeah, and Dave, to be clear, it stuck with you in your mind, right? Not the sickness.
That's correct. Yes, not physically. No, there was no other physical. I recovered from that fairly quickly, and it's a trip that continued after. And so, I've always enjoyed writing, and just combining the writing with the traveling became a lifestyle. And initially, yes, as you mentioned, it was a hobby. And it was a hobby I started the site in 1996, and it was a hobby for five, six, 7 years afterwards. And what really pushed it from a hobby to more of a profession is I became married, and my wife said, you need to turn this into a business. and I was leaning that way anyway. It was becoming more of a lifestyle. So I think what's helped me is I've gotten in early on, but even more importantly is persistence, continuing to improve my writing, continuing to write, and continuing to travel. Those are the key components. And not letting the site go stale, continuing to improve it, take the next steps, bring on people to actually help me write, bring on people that I could send on trips and contribute content to the site. So I think all of that has certainly helped the persistence and getting in early on.
Well, it really is amazing, and you've done an incredible job. What were you doing at the time when you started this? I know you said you were in college, and then what was mm-hmm. your job? What was your income from?
I was a student, so this was a hobby. And then almost around this time when I started, some friends started an internet company, which I became involved in. And so that gave me a little more insight into the technical side of how things operated. And it gave me a place to host the website and just that technical side. So I think that was important, at least early on, because the internet was so different in 96.
Yeah, it was a lot harder, right, to put something like this together.
You didn't have the content management systems like WordPress that like 18-20% of the internet's running on right now. And so everything was done by hand, and I had to code by hand, and HTML was big then. So it was a lot more difficult. Just for curiosity, if you go to the Google the Wayback Machine and then check out the Los Angeles Times, like around 1996, it looks a lot different than it does today. It's very simplistic. And then the graphics were smaller back then, and the internet was certainly not as fast. And so everything was more simplistic. You just didn't have the power that you have today with website design and features.
Oh, yeah, it really is for brands and companies and, you know, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. You can get anything out there that you want pretty much at the click of a button now. And, you know, with the plugins that they have for WordPress, I mean, you can build amazing, amazing sites. So it makes it so much more easy. Take me to the moment when you first started to make money off your site or through your travels, and what did that look like? What was that experience like?
Jubilation.
Finally!
Correct. And it was not directly through the site. Initially, it was because of the site. So I was hired to write reviews for several startups, mostly in the San Francisco Bay Area, in the travel sphere. So it was because of my site. They found me through the site, but it wasn't actually specifically related to making money directly from the site. But that was the first time that I had made money because of what I was doing. And then it's evolved. I mean, in 18 years, things have certainly evolved. And the ideal situation where you want to be at now in this lifestyle is if someone is paying you to write and then promote it on your own website. And that's where I've slowly gotten to that point now.
So you're saying it's better to get paid to write it and then actually house it on your own site so that you're building your own traffic and you're building your own brand.
Correct. That is exactly right. And the traffic's coming to you and you're getting the exposure on your site as well as being the author of the piece.
That is such an important part for the brand journalism community to understand. When I launched LiveFit Films, which is a brand journalism agency, we go out and we work with companies, nonprofits, solopreneurs, and entrepreneurs on branding strategies, usually through video news storytelling. But one of the things that we really teach is you've got to bring this in and you've got to create a lot of fresh content. You have to create that, you know, brand newsroom hub to house all that content so that it gets out to the public, because it's great to put it out on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, wow, all the different social media platforms that exist today. But you really want to be making sure that you have a place that you control 100%. And that you're able to build in your way to make those changes and reflect, you know, your brand and your mission and what you are trying to leave as a legacy.
And I think I've done it a little bit differently. I've always made the focus of everything I do my travel site, my website. And so when social media came along 6, 7, 8 years ago, that I use that just to complement my own site. You need a site with traffic and you need a site that has exposure. And of course, the social media does complement that. But in other cases, people have written for other outlets, and I do a little bit of that, but most everything I do ties in back to my site. And I think that's maybe a slower way to grow, but I've had the history, and I've been able to push it through my site, and now that site has recognition, and so that's certainly, I've been able to leverage that.
So what was a time in your life when you were working on this, and you thought it's not working, or you ran into a mistake that you made, something that caused it to stall? Was that there, that moment when you say, this is so frustrating, I can't do it?
And that was actually, there was a point about 4.5, 5 years ago where my site, from a technical perspective, had gotten stale and was becoming extremely hard to maintain because the programs were no longer being updated. And I did not have it in a content management system, and everything was in just straight HTML. Oh. So,
and there's
thousands of pages. There's thousands of pages. So what turned into about a 1.5 year project finally fixed all of that when we moved everything to WordPress. But that was just a problem where either, yes, I'm just going to continue as is and just things aren't going to grow and things aren't going to change, or I actually need to invest a lot of time and effort and hire someone, which I did, to take this to the next level. So that was a critical step. in the evolution of the site.
Yeah, I think that's a good point for the brand journalism community to think about, because you said the operative words, I needed to hire someone to do this. And sometimes when we're in this kind of publishing business, or we're entrepreneurs or small businesses, we tend to think, well, we can do it all. And we can do a lot. That's what makes us able to thrive like that. We, you know, put a lot on our backs and we just keep loading it until before you know it, we're like crawling on the ground. You know, there's been days I'm so exhausted. I'm like, I don't know if I can get out of bed today. But then I realize, uh-oh, that's because I stopped, you know, giving away a portion of what I need to do, the workload, and giving it to someone else, and letting go and saying, all right, you take care of this. So very, very important. A lot of times I sit down with CEOs and business leaders, and they're looking at the whole brand journalism strategy. And for instance, if you go to Dave's Travel Corner and you take a look at all the content, it's overwhelming. You go, how in the world can I ever create something like that? Well, the key is, just like in travel, when you want to go someplace, put one foot in front of the other and start walking. And eventually you'll discover things. It's a journey, it's a path, and it's the road to success. So what I try to teach is, if you can literally give up some, but then you can also just take little baby steps, you'll eventually get there. And it's amazing. I love working with businesses where we start with absolutely no video, no YouTube channel presence, and all of a sudden, month upon month, we're growing. And same too with the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast. You know, as people share it, we're growing. People are learning it's a resource for them that's free, and they're able to get valuable information, just like going to Dave's Travel Corner for travel insight. And already I've picked out, just looking at your pictures, you know, a handful of places that I want to go to.
And then following up on your point that you just said there is, start small, but take baby steps, but get other people involved as quickly as you can. And that's where my site has grown. Just visually hiring someone and taking that next step on the technical side. But not only that, but having writers contribute to me has helped me grow the content, and just bring in content from other parts of the world and bringing in other perspectives. That is one of the most valuable lessons that I've learned over the last, I don't know, 17, 18 years, is get other people involved, get that diversity, and bring it into the site. And that's what I do.
Yeah. The collaboration is so important.
Yes. And I run travel contests, and that also brings in additional content as well. But I have a core group of writers that when I have a trip that needs someone to cover, I can reach out to them.
So Dave, I want you to tell me about how you do the collaboration aspect. How do you go after it? We've had lots of guests, almost every single guest talks about this, because it is so critical, especially critical online. But if you think about it, we do it in our in-person and networking parties and events that we go to. We are always collaborating. But I think a lot of companies aren't quite sure how best to do that, or maybe they feel a little bit threatened, like, I'm not sure I want to collaborate because I want it to be all mine. So take us through the collaboration and the understanding of building a brand and building a highly trafficked site via using and inviting other people in to participate.
You need a robust back-end system that can handle that, first of all. So you need a system that can handle contributions, photography, content as it comes in, and can handle that smoothly. So that's very important.
Do you have a recommendation for that?
I have a person who did all that for me. But yes, through WordPress, you can certainly build that. And it's called hacking. You can hack in a bunch of different fields and components, how you want to handle that, how you want to handle bringing in content. So that's certainly one content management system that you can use to do that. It's a whole backend. It's a login, password, login, and everything's fairly well laid out. So that's been critical to take that next step for me once we moved the site over a couple of years ago. I can't stress enough the value of in-person networking. I mean, I'm online all the time. I'm on social media, and that's great, and you meet people that way, but they're typically fleeting, just very fleeting conversations. Whereas joining some of these journalism in-person networking groups, I'm part of LACOT in Los Angeles, which is an online consortium of travel writers. That's been extremely valuable. So I've found the in-person networking is the most valuable, just among peers as well as potential clients. That makes the most difference. You get that in-person, in-face that makes all the difference. And then on a number of trips that I've been on, I've met other travel writers, and that's been good as well as far as selling them on my site, and they want another outlet where they can promote their content, and so I offer that to them as well.
What has been one of your favorite places to go? And I'm sure this is hard to answer, but you must be asked it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I usually start by continent by continent. it's just easier that way. In South America, I love Peru. I love Brazil. I've been to Peru many times. I love Peru because of the diversity of food, the culture, geography, the mountains, they have jungles, the ocean, deserts even. And it's fairly inexpensive place to travel to internationally from the United States, which is nice. Asia, Kyrgyzstan was beautiful just recently, but I love Thailand. My wife is from Thailand, so we're there every year.
I'm half Thai. My father was from
You are half Thai.
Yes. Yeah. My father was born in Bangkok.
Do you speak Thai?
Nit Noi.
Nit Noi Kap. Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's good. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Very good. Europe, there's some off the beaten path places like Montenegro with Europe's southernmost fjord, and the little town of Kotor, which is a UNESCO heritage site, and just incredible scenery, the fjord with the island and the history there as well. So a couple places like that. Africa, I love anywhere sub-Saharan, Eastern Africa. The wildlife is prolific all the way from Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique, all the way down to South Africa. Got to get out and do a safari if people have that opportunity. That's so worth it.
So tell me a little bit about advice that you can give on the actual travel writing. And I'd like you to make this both for, the journalist, the brand journalist who might be doing a travel piece, what you look for in that, what makes it good, what makes it readable. And then also, how do you do it so that it's beneficial for the travel destination spot or the brand company that you're working for?
You have to have your own voice, personalize the piece, personalize the stories, build in experiences into the writing. That's critical. And I was in Australia for a month earlier this year working with the tourism board. And we were focusing on unique experiences that anyone could experience. Anyone could, if they're in Australia, that's something they could do. And so I tried to really personalize it and write from my own voice and what made me excited about the experience and complement that, of course, with good photography because the photos sell very well, a destination or an experience.
I think that identifying your voice in any piece is really, really critical. It's important in the messaging. It's important in making it so that when the reader looks at it, or if it's a video story, when they watch it, they really feel that sense of authenticity. You're sharing such great content, of course, about the land. Can you give any tips about how you go in and you research it? Tell us a little bit about when you first set foot on a foreign piece of land, what do you do?
I can travel two different ways. One is independently or one is with an arranged group based on they're giving me the content and what to see and where to go. I enjoy both. I prefer independent a little bit more because I can certainly select a bit more of what I want to do. I look at cultural activities. I look at unique foods. I look at experiences that are unique to a specific country. I look at destinations within a country, like whether it's Jordan, it would be Petra or Wadi Rum or the Dead Sea or something that's fairly unique with geography as well as history in a country. So I dig down and focus on those aspects of travel. And readers to the site will realize that my site is fairly broad. It covers from backpacker to luxury and everything in between, including experiences. So it's a little unique that way because most travel writers either focus on one end or the other, I think. So it's a little broad-based that way.
Well, I love that because I love both ends of it. Definitely.
That's my personal interest, and that's why. Yes, and I like to have that option if I want to do a backpacking trip, if I want to do a luxurious trip, to have that and build that in if possible.
All right, so we need to talk about your very, very challenging endeavor, this Napa Wine Project, which is your other site that you have. And 760 visits and reviews of Napa producers for the project. How long did it take you to do that, and what inspired you to work on that project, other than drinking great wine?
Oh my gosh, this is a whole nother life. Yes, I met a friend, someone I knew in high school, and she reached out to me after high school. We knew of each other. We didn't know each other very well. And she was really into wine, and she's the one who first inspired me to get into wine. I mean, I've grown up in Northern California and close to the vineyards all my life, and grandparents made wine in the garage and that sort of thing. But I chose Napa because it has a very good international reputation. And it's very well defined geographically along a valley, whereas perhaps other wine regions in the area or in California are not as so well defined geographically. And so my international perspective is definitely a part of that choice. And I started visiting wineries. I didn't really know much. I didn't know a lot about wine other than I enjoyed drinking it. And then talking to winemakers, talking to vintners, talking to those in the industry over the past 8 years, is how long I've been working on this, has given me just a very unique perspective and insight into the wine industry and Napa specifically.
What a great time. I've spent some time up there. I've covered a couple of different brand journalism stories, and my other publication, LiveFitMagazine.com, has been a sponsor for the San Diego International Wine Show. So we've had some of the wineries come down and participate in that. And then I've gone up to Napa and done some wine tastings and featured, Robert Foley. He's fantastic. I'm sure you've been there.
A musician.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He has a nice, he built a winery about 3.5-4 years ago on a little part of Napa called Howell Mountain, and a really nice spot.
Right. And I love, I'll put this brand journalism community in the show notes, a link of some of the footage from it, but really, really beautiful, place that he practices his music, and very quiet and secretive, but it was fun being in there.
Napa is very diverse. I mean, I have a list of over 1,000 wineries and producers that are active in a fairly small geographical area. And it's just a unique region for growing grapes. I mean, you get warm temperatures during the day, cold at night. You get a diversity of different microclimates just within 20 miles. I mean, extreme differences, like 20 degree temperature differences during the day. So it's just a beautiful place to visit.
So tell me a little bit about your last visit there and some of the experiences that you've had. What are the popular wines that are coming out? What are things that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, there's two new completely upgraded visitor centers in the valley, and both are on a world-class scale. One is Charles Krug, which is the oldest winery in Napa Valley.
Yes, him too. That's an amazing winery.
Yeah. And Pierre Mondavi is 100, or is going to be 100, or is already 100 this year. So, and he's still living, and I interviewed him about 2 years ago, and he was still driving to work, and he's still walking up 3 flights of stairs to get to the office every day. So
Incredible. Quite
an amazing individual. So they've restored their entire barrel room. It's beautiful. And then Hall Wines. Catherine Hall was ambassador to Austria for a number of years, and completely new visitor center, featuring a lot of glass and artwork. They're from Dallas, and they collect art, so there's a lot of outdoor artwork at their winery. So those two wineries have seen major changes recently in the last year. And it's an industry that's hard to keep up with. I mean, there's so many wineries coming and going. Right now there's new wineries just being built all the time in Napa. So you come to Napa 1 year, you come back another year, it's going to be different.
I loved working.
And we had the earthquake, as you know.
Yes.
And that affected mostly downtown Napa and wineries in and around the town of Napa. I think there's still there's two tasting rooms and one winery that are closed, but people are pulling together and coming back, and the recovery, I hope, will be quick.
Yeah, I loved working with Two Shepherds. Have you been to that?
Oh, yeah.
I
know
great.
The name. They're on my list.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great. Wonderful time there. And, it's really, he's a Rhone enthusiast and former wine writer and blogger. And William, who developed Two Shepherds is just amazing. So for the brand journalism community, I'll put the video in the show notes as well. But just such a great time. Well, I raise my glass to what you've been a virtual toast.
It's a project of passion. So it's the resource for consumers and trade and people planning to visit to Napa. It's just, it can be overwhelming.
It's a wonderful, wonderful project. Give us the name of that website so we can go to it.
It's NapaWineProject.com, and it's continuously being updated, and new reviews are coming in as well as I work on it.
Fantastic. Hey, Dave, we move into the think like a journalist question. You've been hired to help an ailing company that's about to financially collapse. Its reputation shot. You have 1 month, a $1,000 budget, a smartphone, and a laptop. How do you begin to turn this company around?
Can you give me Wi-Fi in that equation as well?
Okay. You are the first person who asked. Granted. The genie grants.
Okay. Excellent, because that's a critical component of this. Well, I spend a lot of time on social media, so I think that would be where I would start trying to improve the company's reputation. There's going to have to be some photography, a lot of engagement with people online. I would hit social media hard and try to engage with people, try to get people involved, and just try to go with the company, talk about the company, and just try to help get the word around, to turn this around.
So you'd go with the blogging and the
and guest posting, identify specific websites that have traffic, and try to get posts on those sites, content pieces as well.
What is one piece of technology, video or multimedia equipment or app, that you just can't live without?
Well, Wi-Fi. everything funnels through that. I mean, my camera and my laptop are my two most important pieces of equipment. So without Wi-Fi, they're fairly useless. I mean, they're not useless, but you know what I mean.
I hear you. You got to get it out to the masses. Audience of one isn't cool. One book, documentary, or internet channel to watch?
This is totally unrelated, but I just finished reading this book not long ago, and it's called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly by Jean-Dominique Bobby. And this gentleman was in the fashion industry, and he was paralyzed by a stroke at in his early 40s, in the mid-90s. And he ended up writing this book just by blinking his eye, one eye.
Wow.
They developed a method of communication based on how many blinks, how often he blink, how slow he blink, and I think it's something like 140-page long book. It took a couple of years. It's about his life and his time in the fashion industry and the accident, and it's just a crazy. It's a very interesting read. There was a movie as well made about that.
I see it came out in 2007, the film, and looks like it is completely inspiring. People who do that, yes. You know, and then the rest of us who are going, I have no time, I can't do this. And you think, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he couldn't move. I mean, he was confined in the hospital and had round-the-clock care. So that was his only way to communicate, was with one eye.
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Check out the book and the movie. It'll be in the show notes section. You'll be able to catch the trailer. Dave, it's expert predictions. The year is 2025. What is your prediction for the future of TV, news media, brand journalism, travel journalism, and how will it all affect businesses?
That's interesting. You're talking to someone who's never had a television in his life. So, I think things are going to be merging completely, and there's going to be less. Things are going to be more merging and less diversity between the outlets. If that makes any sense.
It makes complete sense.
Brand journalism is going to continue to become more popular. I've just seen it in the travel industry, just with working with brands and reaching out and just becoming more personalized stories based on the brand that you're representing.
Absolutely agree with you. I see that we're really moving to a point where you won't know the difference. For instance, just like when you, well, you don't have a TV, but for the masses who do, and you know what, I don't watch much TV either, and I'm a former news journalist who was on the air for a long time.
Yep.
But my space is now the internet, but it's very similar to when cable came on the scene, and suddenly it was this seamless. Are you watching cable or were you watching standard quote unquote TV?
And it
merged together. And that's what's happening now with smartphones and devices. In fact, most people, if you look around, they have their smartphone or their mobile device in some way, iPad, tablet, in the palm of their hand, practically 24/7 or within reach 24/7. It's amazing how the industry and technology is changing social behavior and changing the way we consume information. So I completely agree with you.
I will interject one thing. It is nice to take a break from that sometimes. Just my recent trip to the mountains in Central Asia, that there was nothing. There was no internet. The yurts were not Wi-Fi enabled yet. So
yeah.
With that said, it was nice just to take a few days break.
Right.
Just focus on the now and in the moment and people around you and just,
Well, I know what you mean. I'm actually a certified yoga teacher, and my other brand, theplantbaseddiet.com, we focus on a lot of just, you know, the meditation that I do myself. I practice hot yoga, and those are the moments when I say there is nothing. It's my brief escape. It's not quite like going to some of the places that you're sitting on mountaintops, but it's that escape from the moment, and or rather from all the busy moments, and turning inward to reflect. And that's when some of the deepest thoughts and the direction comes out as to where we want to head in life. So really important.
And having a balanced lifestyle, bringing that balance into that. Is very important.
Yeah, you got to be well-rounded to make it happen. You got to live fit in all areas of your life. Dave, this has been so much fun. Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing how you built Dave's Travel Corner and the Napa Wine Project too. That's fascinating. If you're heading to Napa, it's a huge, huge resource. So be sure to take a look at all the show notes. Dave, thank you for being on the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast.
Phoebe, good to talk to you and finally chat in person, and thank you for having me.
Brand journalism community, you know that you can find all the valuable information in the show notes. Just visit thinklikeajournalist.com, and in the search box, we've made it super simple. Type in episode 20, and you'll find this interview and the resources mentioned in this episode.
Subscribe to the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast and be the media. Now, go think like a journalist.
Hey everyone, it's Phoebe Chung Chua. If you enjoy this free podcast, please subscribe on iTunes and leave a rating and review. Your support is very important to us. It helps the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast continue to bring more valuable resources to help you gain a competitive advantage. And don't forget to join our email list for weekly updates and new media marketing tips. Just visit thinklikeajournalist.com. Join the list and browse our show recaps, articles, videos, and webinars. Now go think like a journalist.